You're with us on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Democratic and Republican lawyers for the House Intelligence Committee have spent 2 months now investigating the president's actions. Democratic committee lawyers used the hearing yesterday as a way to make opening arguments for impeachment articles. And a coverage note here, the chairs of the House investigating committees are expected to unveil articles of impeachment against President Trump at a press conference this morning. You can hear live NPR coverage starting at 8 here on Wisconsin Public Radio and online at WPR.org. So did you follow yesterday's hearing? Did it help you understand the constitutional grounds for impeachment? What questions do you have about what happens next? We're at 800-642-1234. Elisa von Hagel is an associate professor of political science, and she teaches American government and gender studies at the UW-Superior. Elisa, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me again.
So rewind on yesterday. Who testified and why?
We had Daniel Goldman, who was the counsel for the Intelligence Committee for the Democrats, and Barry Burke, who was the counsel to the Judiciary Committee for the Democrats. And then finally, we had Stephen Castor, who was the counsel for the Republicans on the Intelligence and Judiciary Committee. And so all three were testifying yesterday.
And so these lawyers, we heard, were representing Democratic members and Republican members of the House committees handling impeachment. Were their arguments political or partisan?
They both basically have been arguing as the same as we've heard, I think, throughout the, you know, this entire impeachment hearings from the beginning. In terms of the Democrats' argument, basically they laid out the case that Trump violated the Constitution. And so there was, it was not necessarily political in nature, that they, you know, very much emphasized the violations to the Constitution in the interference with the 2020 election. There was some, clearly some partisanship on both sides. We have with Stephen Castor, basically just trying to sow doubt about Trump's intentions while he had done that. And so, again, we had the, you know, hearsay, presumption, no evidence claims over and over and over again. So it was definitely more partisan and more rancorous than perhaps it has been in the past. But both had both very clear political aims and also partisan aims as well.
And we saw that staff lawyers cross-examined each other for the first time, which added a lot of tension to yesterday. What was that like?
So, I mean, with the first, if you remember way back, I know it seems like years ago, but one of the first impeachment hearings, I think the comments afterwards, how boring and dull they were and how, you know, these individuals testifying were just not too, you know, it's very sexy and that, you know, enough for these to get the people's attention. And this one certainly was. And so we had Barry Burke, who began, who went up onto the dais, which had never happened before, and questioned Castor and really just very aggressively was throwing questions at him. And there was the Republicans tried to intervene with points of order, but the Republican rules the Democratic rules that had been established for the committee allowed that questioning to occur. And so that was quite the, everyone woke up after that one. That was very out of order, very different from what what usually occurs.
We're talking with Elisa von Hagel. She's a political scientist, and she teaches at UW-Superior. We are looking at the what happened yesterday in the impeachment inquiry. Elisa, House Democrats are set to unveil articles of impeachment this morning. The details of those articles will be voted on by the entire House. How were yesterday's hearings important to what might happen in those articles today?
So in terms of the what was heard yesterday, there was no mention of the term or the issue of bribery, which is one of the terms of impeachment that or one of the claims that could be brought against the president in impeachment. There also wasn't significant mention of obstruction of justice related to the Russian election interference. And so it's presumed that those two issues will not be part of the articles of impeachment coming forward. Specifically, the focus was primarily on the obstruction of Congress, namely in the number of witnesses and the documents that weren't released that had been kept from these committees. And so that's supposed to be the primary articles of impeachment, as well as the abuse of power.
We had some talk leading up to the hearings in the Judiciary Committee about the Democratic chairman, Jerry Nadler, and his role in presiding over these hearings. How has he been? Because he denied requests for Republican witnesses.
Yes, that was also quite controversial. It was part of the rules that had been established by the, you know, at the start of this entire impeachment investigation. And so the House voted on the rules of proceeding way back in October. And so that was part of the rules. And it was, again, there were throughout the entire day, you heard questions about where Adam Schiff was or where the whistleblower was. And so they were, you know, the Republicans definitely hammered against or hammered back against those rules and were continuing to question why their witnesses that they had requested were not allowed to attend or were not to attend in attendance. But again, it was according to the rules.
So if articles of impeachment are laid out today at a press conference here at 8 o'clock, what does that mean going forward? What is the next step?
The next step is that the House Judiciary Committee itself votes on the articles of impeachment, whether or not to move it forward to the full body of the House. And so if it's, as it's presumed, that the Judiciary Committee would vote it out of the committee, then it would eventually make it to the floor of the House for a full vote. And there has been speculation that the full vote before the House is expected before Christmas. So, and we, as we may have all heard, that the Senate has cleared their calendar for the start of the new year. So in January, they're sort of expecting or planning for these, basically the trial, the impeachment trial. And so it looks like it's moving pretty rapidly at a rapid pace,
so,
at least for Congress.
For Congress, right. I mean, what we've heard that it is moving rapidly, that Democrats are trying to move this process forward. What are we comparing that to? What is rapid?
I think compared to, usually we look to, there's not very many examples of this in history.
Mm-hmm.
Primarily it's, you know, looking back at the Clinton and the Nixon example. And, I think it's rapid in terms of it is a very short period of investigation time that the House Intelligence Committee was investigating. It was 4 years that the Kenneth Starr took to investigate President Clinton before coming to the House Judiciary Committee to drop charges of impeachment there. And so this is a really quick turnaround. Again, there's not a lot to compare it to, but at least for, you know, in comparison to previous examples and, you know, with respect to Congress, who's usually a little bit slower, it's they're attempting to move quickly because they know that the general public is starting to lose, or if they haven't already, are starting to lose, you know, attention or focus to this issue.
Alisa, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Alisa von Hagel is an associate professor of political science at UW-Superior. Coming up, UW-Eau Claire is adding 3 sports as part of an overall effort to increase enrollment and retention. We look at the influence of Title IX that requires women and men to get equal opportunities to participate in sports. Do you think UW schools should expand athletic programs? What questions do you have about Title IX? Join in 800-642-1234. Back in a moment here on the Ideas Network.